Welcome to Absolute Truth Absolutely, the weekly podcast powered by LWYM and your host, Gio. If you're uncompromising in your search and preservation of the truth, you've come to the right place. Now here's your host, Gio, with Pastor Jesus Martinez.
Absolute Truth Absolutely, once again, another week, and we are glad that you are joining us for this weekly podcast in which we give you the absolute truth in a world full of uncertainty. With me, as always, Pastor Jesus Martinez, and today we're going to talk about mind control.
Ooh.
It's good to be on board once again, and I believe God is going to use this podcast to clear a few issues that need to be cleared up.
Absolutely. When we, and you know, the little effect and everything, some people might think we're going to talk about George Orwell or the Manchurian Candidate. We're not bringing it specifically from that angle, but I guess you can kind of allude to that a little bit, because we understand via scriptures that sinners, their minds and whatever their thought processes are controlled by the secular world that they live in. What do we mean by that? Well, we have to understand that when Satan lets his ideology loose, if you will, and uses all means of communication to try to get these ideologies, doctrines, dogmas out, people will adopt them. And instead of reasoning these things through to see if these are actually truthful or not, they simply adopt them and allow their minds to be controlled by what the doctrine or the ideology is. So at the end of the day, we have mind control, right?
Absolutely. And the funny thing about it is that, and I can recall this in my own youth, I used to say, I am my own man, I have my own thoughts. And really, I was just an echo. Yeah. I was a sounding board. And it's the same today. And the sadder side of this story is that Christians do exactly the same thing. They say, well, I have my own mind, and I have my own set of ideas. And they're just sounding boards. They're echoes. And it's fine if we were to be imitating Jesus and thinking with the mind of Christ. But this is not the case. We are thinking in accordance to the world, and this is very dangerous because then it shapes us.
Well, we spoke about being susceptible a couple of weeks ago. We spoke about who's your authority also a couple of weeks ago, where we saw this in a, I guess, in one manifestation, where people allow themselves to be influenced by pastors, theologians, on what to think about the Bible instead of letting the Bible speak for itself.
Right.
But now we're going to bring this to a more, I guess, a much more broad concept and reality. Whereas to, you can apply it to worldview, you can apply it to the way you see the Bible, the way you see God, and all of these different things. Why? Well, we have to understand that the Bible speaks about mind control. Somebody might say, wow, this guy's really gone off the deep end. Well, if you allow us to expound on it, we'll tell you the truth about it. The Bible speaks about mind control in a way that it allows the Christian to live free from the world's influence. So when we think about mind control, automatically what comes to mind is someone else is controlling everything that goes through my mind. All of my thought processes are according to what someone else is dictating.
I can hear the Twilight music playing in the background.
Nee, 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 nee. Yeah, right, exactly. But what occurs? The Bible talks about us controlling what comes through our mind. That's exactly the kind of mind control we're
exactly
talking about.
Exactly.
Because some people might think, okay, wait a minute, but yes, I've heard about mind control, and I understand the whole concept of sinners being controlled by the secular world, but the Bible teaches and recommends and commands that we control everything that comes through our mind, because if not, then it's a free-for-all in our minds. Now, looking at 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 13, it says that we must gird the loins of our understanding. You've said it before, and I've said it before. To the recreational reader, to the religious reader, they'll read this passage, and they'll simply pass over it saying, wow, that was a beautiful phrase, Peter. Awesome. Gird the loins of understanding. That's awesome. But then when you look at the illustration that Peter's trying to bring forth, the spiritual truth that he's trying to bring forth via an illustration, now all of a sudden the text opens up. When we look at old Jewish culture, we know that they used to wear these long flowing robes from the shoulders all the way down to the ankles. And it was just one robe. Maybe they would wear a jacket over it, whatever the case may be. And as the robe got longer, especially from the loins on, from the hips down, it was like the dress, if you will, would open up. And it would be almost impossible, very difficult to move around. In other words, walk, because and even run, because your feet would get tangled in this clothing and you could slip and fall.
Yeah, long strides definitely became increasingly difficult as you picked up the pace.
Exactly. So what Peter's alluding to here is that these people used to put on belts, either made of rope or other materials, to try to control that oscillating dress.
And facilitate movement.
It even got to the point where if a person wanted to run, what they would do is they would pick up the ends of that dress and tuck it into the belt so that the dress would become shorter.
Right.
So what happens when you look at the imagery, when you see that imagery in your mind, Peter is telling you, there is a possibility that you can lose control of your mind, or that the mind can control you if you allow it to get to that point.
Yes.
So when he says, gird the loins of your understanding, the way that you see the world, your worldview, everything that goes through your mind, it must be under the control. But how do we control it? That's the key question that we want to answer.
Well, we must turn on the filters. And this is something that I glean from Peter and also from Paul. Because the minute he tells you to gird, we can stop right there and say, wait a minute, he never said God is going to do this for me. So automatically it brings me into the picture, it brings my role into the picture, and that is that I am responsible for turning on the filters. And of course, the filter is the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, Paul teaches us that we do have this faculty, we do have this ability. He says, casting down imaginations. And imaginations can be beautiful. But then again, they can be deadly. They can be very destructive. So he says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. How? And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So he teaches us, he shows us that we can take our thought life, which includes the very deep part of our thought life, which is our imaginations, and bring them to subjection. It's a possibility. How do we do that? We turn on the filters. We keep them on all the time. That is the Word of God, and everything has to be filtered through the Word of God. Sometimes you can start on a daydream, Gio. And it could be a beautiful thing, because you could be thinking about, oh, this is what's going to happen in this Sunday service, and I'm going to really get into praise and worship. And that's fine. You don't have to cast that down. You don't have to destroy that. But then again, you flip that, and you can go on a mental trip into things that are no-no. Yep. God says, don't go there, not even in your thought life. Yep. And Paul says, you can take that and bring it into obedience. You can take that and bring it into captivity so that it no longer runs your life and basically also destroy your life.
Well, let's look at a deeper truth on what you were just saying. You were saying imaginations, and that's a key phrase there. Jesus tells us that if a man lusts for a woman, he looks at her to be with her in his mind, that all of a sudden he's adulterated with her. So now Jesus doesn't make this a physical act only, but also what? A spiritual, a mental act, and he calls that a sin. When we go back to Genesis, as early as Genesis, he tells us that the thoughts continually of men were evil.
Yes.
So we see that there is a connection with evil and thinking upon these things over and over and over again, and in essence tolerating that these things were to continue like a film roll, an unending film roll in our minds. We've seen the effects of it in our society, in our culture. For example, thieves, murderers, rapists. I mean, our society is great at putting, and I use that term very carefully, or rather, you know what, I'd rather say this. Our society is very, it uses imagery to the max. Movies, for example. How many times have we heard of people that have gone to see a film or seen a series of films of the same category, for example, horror films, and they continually see this stuff over and over and over again, and they eventually act upon it because this is what they're thinking about.
Yeah, the best proof to that is commercials.
Absolutely.
How many jingles have you and I learned? These are 15, 20, 30 seconds worth of information, but they're so powerful that you remember them for the rest of your life.
And repetition, because they keep repeating them. They understand that if they keep repeating them, it creates a pattern in the mind.
What happens is that we don't like to admit that somebody has fashioned our thought life. Somebody trained us to think in a particular way. And now the Bible is actually telling you, look, this is something that you're going to have to do on your own now, because it was mom and dad and culture and the teachers and friends and TV and radio, but they made a mess out of you.
Yeah.
So now you've got to correct this and really The one true source that you can trust for this new project, the renewing of the mind, is my word. Because I would love to say, yeah, go ahead and trust your pastor, go ahead and trust your minister, but not in today's climate.
No.
I would say lean totally and absolutely on God's word to do this for you. And once you've learned God's word, now you can even do what the Bereans used to do, and that is listen to Paul and the rest that were out there preaching, and they would say, okay, this is biblical, this is of God, I can accept this, or I can reject it and cast it down.
We have to get into a little bit of theology here, because it's important that we look at, again, going back to the scripture, just like you were saying, to see how this operates, because the Bible lets us know the operations of the heart, the operations of the mind. When we look in Matthew 15:19, Jesus teaches us that the heart and mind are connected to each other, and that evil thoughts proceed from an evil heart. So obviously these things are connected. Now, when those evil thoughts go unchecked, a person is capable of performing wickedness without restraint. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 18, all the way to 28. In essence, Paul is telling us there, these people did not recognize God. They did not give God the glory. They applied that to four-footed beasts, to animals and other things. And God hands them over to a reprobate mind, a debased mind.
Yes.
A mind that does not pass the test. When you understand that we use our understanding, our mind, to be able to judge between what is right and what is wrong, to be able to discern truth, to be
able
to examine. Once a mind is debased, once a mind is reprobate, it can no longer do that. All it is open now to is evil. And you look at it, just like Isaiah said, what is evil is now good, and what is good is now called evil. The other day, you were telling me that you were watching a Dr. Phil program because it intrigued you by the subject matter. And all of a sudden, he's got these different family members on how they're raising their children. And we see that these two sets of parents, they were trying to raise their children in a specific manner. And these kids are upstanding kids. They're outstanding kids. They're good students and whatnot. And he says, you know, you might go to the extreme sometimes with these kids. And the father of the second presentation, if I'm not mistaken, he says, of course, I look abnormal now because the rest of society, since they're not parenting properly, I'm the one that looks abnormal.
Yes.
So you begin, and then the third presentation, the famous princess boy, where the mother and father are advocating that this kid can dress in dresses, and he thinks of himself as a little girl and whatnot. And you see people applauding this stuff. And they're like, yeah, absolutely. A debased mind, the reprobate mind, would only approve of things like that. So we begin to see that when these things are damaged, all of a sudden you can't tell the difference between right and wrong, and everything that's wrong now settles into your mind, into your heart, and now anything goes.
This is why I said that whether we want to admit it or not, somebody has shaped my thought life, and now that I am in Christ, God is telling me, look, this process has to start from the ground up once again, and who are you going to trust this time? The same people that you trusted before, they probably still don't have it right. So the only source that I can truly trust to bring about the true renewing of the mind is His Word. And these are the filters that once I have them working, I can start casting out everything that is not of God and keeping out everything that is not of God. And so therefore, I just keep the godly thoughts, what God would have me think, what He would have me, the way He would have me view things. I think, Gio, that in all true examinations, you have at least three phases. You have the investigative phase. Mm. If you're going to have a trial, you have to have investigation. And then number two, you have to have the findings of that investigation. And after that, well, the verdict and the sentencing. And I think we need to do the same thing with all the things that we hear. Okay, let me examine that. Let me investigate that. And then after I examine and I investigate, I say, these are the findings. This is good. That is not good. And then what I'm going to do with this. This I'll keep. This I'll cast. Paul said it. Listen to all things. Pay attention. But only keep that which is worthy, that which is godly.
But going back to what you were just saying, if a person is not given to renewing of the mind, then obviously their reasoning is going to be faulty, and they're not going to be able to apply truth in their life.
Absolutely. This is why I said maybe 10 minutes ago, you've got to start the filters. And I answered my own question, what are the filters? God's word.
Absolutely. Well, here's the thing. The only way that we can be assured that our walk will be pleasing to God, and that we'll be assured that we don't stumble, just like Peter says, girding the loins of your understanding, because if not, you're going to fall, is by a diligent reading of God's word, which will do two things. Number one, detox us from the filthiness of sin. And then number two, renew our mind. It's interesting that the word that Paul uses in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he talks about not conforming, not handing ourselves over to the culture, not handing ourselves over to the era. Some people, you and I were having a conversation last night about this. They say, well, no, what he meant there was to that generation. Wow, that's really limiting the scope of the biblical truth. What he meant there was the secular world in its entirety, and it's not limited to a space in time. It's limited to the world system, the system that Satan himself controls.
Well, when we were having our conversation last night, we brought John Calvin into the conversation. And the people that defend the many, many terrible things that he did will say, well, those were the times that he lived in. And so he was just, you know, doing what they did during those times. But the Bible says, and you have quoted that, that the world shouldn't be fashioning my thought life or my actions.
That's right.
So I would ask, why, if Calvin, excuse me, knew Romans 12:2, why would he allow the mindset of that generation to influence him to the point that he did terrible things? Yeah. Paul lived under much more difficult times, and he didn't do the things that Calvin did. Yeah. So we see a perfect example of people exonerating Calvin by saying, well, those were his times. That was the mentality of his times. He should not have yielded to the mentality of his times, just like we are called not to yield to the mentality of our time.
Well, what was it that you were telling me last night? And you told me this on dozens of occasions. Paul probably lived in a worse time than Calvin lived.
Yes.
We're talking about Rome. And this, we're talking about the advanced Roman civilization. These are people that tortured. I mean, do we need to go far? Nero?
The barbarians, the Scythians.
I mean, come on. When you think about history, especially these former empires, these empires of antiquity, one of the things that they specialized in was in torturing and killing people. They did not value human life. That was just it. And Paul operated in a time that was much worse than Calvin's era. Now, we're talking about this, about not submitting yourself to the era, to the system, to the secular, demonic ideology of the times, not only of our times, but of just, you know, every single time. Sin is around us, all over the place.
But he allowed the mindset of the time to fashion him, because he was oppressive to his own.
Exactly. The, what was it, the Protestant Pope?
Yeah.
And they're calling him the Protestant Pope for that very reason.
The Pope of Geneva. I mean, it's amazing the way that his followers today will exonerate him and excuse him by that silly proposal. Well, those were his times. But wait, and like you said previously, Paul said to them, to us, and to the next generation of Christians, do not be conformed to this world. You cannot allow the age, whatever turn you're in, you cannot allow that age to fashion you.
Absolutely. Well, it's a very simple concept to understand. And I think the problem lies in that it's a process. And a lot of people don't want to go through the process. Because a lot of processes, especially when they come from the Bible, are very, I guess they're kind of itchy, I would say. What do you mean by itchy? Well, we've got pride to deal with. And what do you mean by pride, Gio? We don't want to hand these things over to God because we feel like, I need this. I still need this, and I don't want to hand this over to God. Well, you want to live a life that's godly? Do you want to live a life that's dedicated to Him, where God will be pleased with your walk? You have to renew your mind. God cannot have a relationship with a person that is inconsistent. God is consistent in all things, and God is pure. He cannot have a relationship with something that still wants to, what, have friendship, kind of have that connection still, that last connection to the world. James calls this adultery, spiritual adultery. So therefore, we have to renew our minds, and the only way we do this is by, number one, we have to love the Lord with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our being. It's funny how Jesus dissects these things. Luke chapter 10, verse 27. But notice how he left the mind in its own category. Why? Just like you were saying, we have to think upon these things. We have to examine these things. And not only that, to adapt the word of God in our heart. I'd like for you to comment on Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8, Paul tells us there that whatever is pure, whatever is of good report, whatever is divine, we have to think about these things. Why?
Because these are the exercises. This is what will train you in keeping the right thoughts in your mind. Gio, I need to rewind. I can't get away from the previous thought, because I think there's another underlining issue that must be tackled, and that is we all want to fit. We all want to be loved. And so even though we are screaming, I am different, I have my own thought life, in reality, we are just following whatever the age, whatever the time has set forth. Yep. And since I want to be loved and I want to fit and I want to belong, then I'll say with my mouth, I am my own man, I have my own thoughts. But in reality, yep, I'm just an echo. I'm a sounding board. So since we have explained before, and you bring up Philippians, that we need to turn on the filters and we need to do this now without mom and dad. It's not the school system anymore. It's the Lord and I. He tells me, okay, then this is the exercise. Choose things that are noble. Choose things that are godly. Choose things that are clean, that are worthy of the Lord. And think on these. And so you are retraining yourself in the proper way of thinking. You're detoxing from the world and getting your mind to work under control like God always intended it to be, fashioned after the Lord.
You're controlling your mind. Your mind is not controlling you. It's a very simple concept to understand. And going back on your point so we can conclude today's podcast, you were saying that people's thought life, the way that they view the world or worldview, is shaped a lot of times, or I guess on every occasion, by different entities or people. And you know where you see this mostly manifested? Especially in this generation, where you go up to a person and you say, you know, this is against God's word. And they say, really? And automatically, that singular question, that one word question, lets you know about a person that they don't hold on to what the Bible says as their authority to renew their mind, because they look at what the world argues and they say, you know, the world's arguments are much more sensical to me than what the Bible argues. Why? Because they've adopted, they've allowed that the thought processes of the world were to influence them. It's a very simple concept to understand.
Yes.
So I want to thank you again for being with us. This has been Absolute Truth, Absolutely, and we are dedicated to uncluttering, decluttering the lies to give you the absolute truth in a world full of uncertainty. If you have any questions, if you have any comments, any subjects that you might want us to deal with in the future, please email those to us at info@lwym.org. info@lwym.org. That's all the time that we have left for this podcast. For Pastor Jesus Martinez, this has been Giovanni Del Cristo and Absolute Truth, Absolutely. May the Lord shine his face upon you.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or suggested topics for future shows, send them our way to info@lwym.org. That's info@lwym.org. Visit our website in order to download past episodes and subscribe to our free email updates. The web address is www.lwym.org/ATA. This has been Absolute Truth, Absolutely. Absolute truth in a world full of uncertainty.